Do you really want to go up there?
Yeah, Matthew hurts my neck when he preaches over me. I can't imagine how you all feel when I'm. Yeah. Good evening. It is time to begin our evening worship service here at the Centerville Church of Christ. We are thankful that you are here and pray that you have had a good day. Again, we have some good news to announce this evening. Maybe some of you already know this, but we're going to rejoice with Scout Akins, who is Tammy and Shane's granddaughter. Most of you know Scout. She was baptized this afternoon by her dad here at the building, and we just want to rejoice with that family and rejoice with her and her decision to become a Christian, and we're just so thankful for that. Add to your prayer list Angie Atchison. That is the cousin of Mark and Sheila Chesser, who is very, very sick and in need of our prayers. That was given to us later this morning before we had time to have that announced. Also, we mentioned this morning Kevin Lawson, who is the brother-in-law of our Chris Hughes, was admitted to the hospital this morning with pneumonia following a bout with COVID. And his oxygen levels have decreased, so he is in the hospital. They're trying to get those levels up, so keep that family in your prayers. Jimmy Griffin, again, the cousin of our John Bradley, they found cancer, and they're going to do surgery tomorrow, so keep that family in your prayers as well. Also, I failed to mention this morning, Renee's dad was admitted to the hospital yesterday morning. He is doing some better tonight. We're hoping that he will be released maybe tomorrow or the next day. We appreciate your prayers there as well. I got a phone call this afternoon. A dear friend of mine, an older gentleman, he was a prisoner of war. He has an outstanding story. Was a prisoner of war in Korea for almost 2 years and had written a book about that experience, but just a great man, great influence in my life, a great friend, great brother. He passed away this morning, so keep that family in your prayers. I've been asked to come and to do that funeral And I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but keep that family in your prayers as well. Update for our building is if you need to leave the auditorium or if you'd feel safer somewhere else in the chapel, there is now the technology there. We've updated that you can sit there, and the worship service is there on the television. So that is now available for every service that we're here, I'm pretty sure. So take advantage of that if you need that. We're thankful for those who are involved with getting that and keeping that available for us. We are blessed with a lot of folks who do a lot of things for us in the area of technology. In our service tonight, Eric Cannon is going to have our opening prayer here in just a moment. Joey Hunt is going to have our closing prayer. Joseph Eisenberg is going to read scripture for us. Shane's going to lead us in our singing, and then Matthew will present our lesson for us at the appropriate time. Shane?
Beautiful prayer of prayers, and to have a Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, pausing to give thanks and praise to you for all the many blessings that you've given us. Father, we are truly thankful for our church family. We are truly thankful for this time that we have to come together and be united in worship, singing these songs of praise to you and glorifying your name together as brothers and sisters. Father, as we're together this afternoon, we pray that you'll help us to clear our minds of worldly matters and just to focus on you and to worship you in true spirit and truth. Father, there have been many names mentioned this afternoon and so many other names that are on our hearts and minds that are struggling with different problems and different afflictions. And Father, we come to you this evening lifting those names up to you. And we pray that you'll be with each and every person that is in your need, that you will bless them and comfort them as they are struggling and have different problems, and that you will watch over them and protect them. Father, encourage us to be there for them. Encourage us to be your servants in the moments when we see people struggling. Encourage us to be there to support them and uplift them and just be kind and do the things that we can to support them. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunities that you give us each and every day to shed your light. And we pray that you will encourage us to be the light in this community. Encourage us to say the right things and to do the right things so that people can see your glory. And they can be drawn in by the good things that we are doing in your name. Father, we thank you for our elders. We thank you for the great work that they do as they strive to lead us in accordance to your word. And we pray that you'll bless them and encourage them as they do that good work. Pray that you'll continue to be with our ministers and work with them as they work so strongly to deliver your word to us and encourage us to live those upright and holy lives. Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We pray that we're always trying to live up to what you have called us to be, but there are times that we fall short. And Father, we do ask you to forgive us of those sins and encourage us to not be of this world, to be reminded that we're living for a greater purpose. Encourage us to be what you have called us to be and support us as we try to do that. Father, in all these things we pray, it is in your Son's name. Amen.
Wonderful story of love, that led to me a friend. Wonderful story of love, waking immortal sin. The angels that rapture announced, shepherds in wonder received it, sinners. Wonderful story of love, wonderful.
The scripture reading this evening is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 through 40. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were attempted, or slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they may should not be made perfect apart from us.
I haven't told Shane this yet, but Shane was in a dream of mine the other night. I was asked to lead a song. Should have known then that it was a dream, okay? And I got up and had the song book, and I couldn't find the song in the book. There was a number, and that page had been torn out of the song book. And I came down, I said, Shane, what song am I singing? He said, oh, it's this song, and you sing it to the tune of this other song. And I said, I don't know either of those songs. And then I woke up. So it was pretty scary, but again, should have known I was dreaming. I heard some good horror stories about your putting puzzles together this morning after class, and not nearly as some far scarier than mine was, and so I was glad that you shared those with me. We're talking about things that we did on our snow days. One day, Sissy had always wanted to do this. She said, we need to go out and have pictures taken in the snow, and so we had Aiden Wallace come down the street and take our pictures. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, and so I called Riley Qualls and asked if he would fill in for me. And so Riley stepped in and took the family photos with Sissy and the boys. I will say this, if you ever need some Photoshop work done, contact Riley or Luke Worsham, and they'll come up with something. That's for sure. If you follow along with Joseph's reading, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, if you want to turn with me there. Several people echoed the sentiment this morning after our worship service about how nobody is perfect and how they've tried to tell people that in their lives, and it's certainly something that we continue to deal with as a people and as a culture. As we talked about this morning, we need to be reminded of the fact that not only is nobody perfect, but God can use imperfect things to accomplish things that are great, and that was kind of what we spoke to this morning. I had one story in particular that I was unable to share that, there it is. I was going to say I won't be sharing it tonight either. But there was a house servant who had two large pots, and he would use these pots to carry water up the mountain to the master's house. He would go down to the stream, he would put the pots on the end of on a pole that he carried over his back, and he would carry the pot up the mountain to his master's house. One of the pots was just fine. The other one had a large crack in it. So by the time he got to the top of the hill to the master's house, he only had 1.5 pots full of water. One delivered the full portion, the other only half. For 2 years, the servant delivered this water to his master's house, 1.5 pots full per day. And the perfect pot was very proud of the fact that it was carrying a full load. But the poor pot with the crack in it was ashamed. It was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable over accomplishing only half of what it had been designed to do. After 2 years of what that broken pot perceived to be bitter failure, the cracked pot spoke to the servant one day as they gathered water by the stream. He said, I'm ashamed of myself and I need to apologize to you. And the bearer of the load asked, what are you ashamed of? For the past 2 years, it said, I have been able to deliver only half of my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way to your master's house. Because of my flaws, you don't get the full value from your work. And the servant says, as we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. As they went up the hill, the cracked pot noticed the beautiful wild flowers on one side of the path. And when they reached the house, the servant said to the pot, did you notice the flowers grew only on your side of the path, not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick beautiful flowers to decorate the master's table. As we said this morning, we all have imperfections and we all have flaws, but it's God who's able to take those flaws and use them for good, even when we cannot see it or we can't understand why we are the way that we are, why we struggle with the things we struggle with. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very well-known passage of Scripture as it chronicles and retells the story, great stories of faith throughout the Old Testament especially. And it's there that we see countless individuals who did incredible things through their faith, and yet every one of them were flawed. Every one of them struggled with some sin of the flesh that kept them from being perfect. Tonight, as we look at, I want us to look at perhaps a part of that chapter that we don't focus on as much, and that's toward the end, those final verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And it's a section of the text that perhaps we don't give enough attention to. And the title of the lesson this evening is Losing to Win. And I'll explain more about what that means exactly as we go through our time together this evening. But you read there, and we'll start in verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. We see a continuation of what the writer has been saying up to that point. By faith, this person accomplished this. And then you read to verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So the author here says, look at these great many things that were accomplished through faith. These people had faith, they faced difficulties, but they were rewarded and accomplished great things as a result. And then in verse 36, we see him describe a different group of people. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Those in the still others categories here, though they had great faith, as far as we know, they did not receive their earthly reward for that faith. The Hebrew writer said that there were others that went through all these trials and all these sufferings and did not necessarily gain and accomplish the things that Moses and Joshua and others did that are written of in the verses that come prior to that. They didn't enjoy that earthly victory because of their faithfulness. They still suffered and they still hurt and they had a painful existence. Why? Because they were faithful unto God. In 2021, we focused on faithfulness here at the Centerville Congregation. And now in 2022, we're trying to focus on ways in which we can use that faithfulness to be steadfast and abounding in more good works. And it's certainly a great challenge that has been placed upon all of us. Ways in which we can make our faith more unwavering so that it can be as it was for these individuals that we read of at the end of Hebrews chapter 11. These people were steadfast and immovable. They remained dedicated to God even though they had yet to receive the promise and see the realization of Jesus Christ, the Savior, that it would die on their behalf. You see, these were people who were willing to lose in the earthly life so that they might win the life eternal, so that they might just simply be obedient unto God in the hopes that they would one day live with Him. These people were like us. They were not perfect. They made their fair share of mistakes throughout their life, no doubt. But when it mattered most and when they were faced with life and death decisions, they chose life through God. They chose to lose the comforts of this life so that they might win in eternity. As much as we'd like to in our life, we have to take on that mantra that we have to be willing to lose sometimes so that we can win and win when it matters. We have to be willing to walk away from certain battles that we might find ourselves entangled in this life. We might have to decide that there are some battles we're better off just not fighting at all. Maybe it's even a battle that we could win. Maybe we're presented with a chance where we could prove victorious, that we could throw that in someone else's face even. And yet, we need to understand that sometimes it's just best to lose. Now, don't get me wrong, nobody likes to lose. But when it comes to who we are as a Christian and as God's people, these people that we read of here in these verses that we just read, they were willing to lose everything, their earthly life, their earthly comforts, so that they could do as God had asked them to do. It's tough to be willing to lose. Well, there's the whole lesson. Hope you... Losing to win requires humility. Again, nobody likes to lose. Nobody likes to have that sting of loss. We talk about being a good loser, not being a sore loser. I've always struggled with that. I don't necessarily tend to think it's okay to not want to lose, right? I mean, not many people enjoy that. Because at times, depending on how you lose, it can be humiliating. I don't buy into this. That's just me personally. Well, we lost, but it was a good learning experience. Well, we still lost, right? At the end of the day, it's still an L in the win or loss column. But we certainly can lose, we can learn from losing. We can learn when we fail. In fact, a lot of times the best learning experiences come in those moments, but it's still a tough pill to swallow. Still others, it reads, had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Some of these people who were faithful, who were deliberate in their faith, they were mocked and they were made fun of because of it. And I've talked about that before, how that comes with the territory of being a child of God. If we're going to live out our faith, then we can go ahead and prepare to be mocked and made fun of for it. We can need to be prepared to feel some humility as a result and be humiliated. And yet we have to be willing to let our pride, we have to push it off to the side and say, you know what, I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to take this loss for what it is, and I'm going to learn from it. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16, as Jesus would write here very clearly about what it would take to be a true follower of His. And it takes a willingness to lose. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Jesus says, if you want to win when it matters, if you want to go to heaven one day, you have to deny yourself. You have to be willing to lower yourself and say, you know what, I may really want to do this, but I know I shouldn't. I may really want to buy this, but it's probably not in my best interest. I really want to go to this place with these people, but honestly, I know if I do, I'll make decisions that I shouldn't make. Whatever it is, I'm just going to switch to this microphone. Thank you. This has been giving me a hard time all day. It does that from time to time. I'm sorry. We have to have humility. When a microphone stops working, we have to be willing to switch to the next one, the next best available option. But in all seriousness, Jesus paints a very clear picture. If you want to go to heaven, there are things that you have to do without here. And you have to be willing to be humble enough to admit that even if the world around you prioritizes certain things, you have to be willing to say, you know, it's not a priority for me. It shouldn't be a priority for me. That doesn't mean that we can't have nice things in this world. That doesn't mean that we can't acquire wealth, and we've talked about that before. But it does mean that, as He says, if you're willing to lose your life here, you will gain it for My sake. What will it profit us if we gain everything, but we lose out on heaven, we lose our own soul? Losing to win requires us to have a great deal of humility. These people that we read of in Hebrews chapter 11, all of them, not just the verses we read tonight, but all the verses that came prior to that, those were people who were humble enough to say, you know, I need to listen to God even if I don't understand what He's asking me to do. I need to listen to God and obey God even if it's going to cost me something, even if I'm going to be mocked and made fun of, and I'm going to lose by the worldly definition of what that is. Losing to win requires humility. As we read here, it also requires great heroism. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted,
tormented. You know, the way it's written, it's like that's what these people's lifestyle was. They, day in and day out, because of their faith, they were tormented. And they faced physical agony and pain. And it was a constant threat to them. You think about people in the early church and what they risked just by being a Christian and just by worshiping with the brothers and the sisters. No doubt many of them never got a good night's sleep because they were afraid of what might happen to them during the night. And there are people, Christians the world over, still living that very existence, constantly tormented. And it takes heroism, it takes bravery, it takes courage, devout courage, in order to be willing to say, you know what, I know that I'm going to give things up here so that I can gain greater things later. You hear the word hero, and what do you think of? You probably maybe think of Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or one of those people that we see plastered on the television all the time. We grow up with visions of what makes a hero a hero. Perhaps you think of police officers or firefighters. A hero is defined as a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. It's a person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities and is regarded as a role model or ideal. You read that definition, and I'm proud to say that I worship with a lot of people who could be defined as a hero here at the Centerville Church. I live in a community surrounded by a lot of people who could fit that definition, people who have nobility of character, people who have personal qualities that are worth looking up to. And we have to be heroic, truly heroic, if we are going to be able to live a life in which we say, I will take all the world can throw at me because I know what lies ahead. You skip back a few verses in Hebrews 11 to verse 24. And it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, you can live a life in which you don't struggle with a lot of things as it pertains to morality, as it pertains to right and wrong. And there's a lot of people who don't see any difference between right and wrong, and they live their life and it's pretty carefree. Moses had an opportunity to do that. Several of these people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 did. They could have taken the easy way out, but instead they chose the heroic path. They chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than have the comforts and the passing pleasures of earthly sin. You go back to, skip ahead to Hebrews chapter 13, and the writer quotes Psalm 118 verse 6 when he says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? There's a lot that the world can do to us, physically, mentally, emotionally. It can hurt us, certainly, because we're human, again, as we talked about this morning. But at the end of the day, there's only so much they can do. And these heroes of faith that we read of in Hebrews chapter 11, they understood that even if they got their earthly reward or if they didn't, they were going to live a life of heroic faith. If you want to live a life in which you're willing to lose so that you can win, you have to have humility, you have to have heroism, and you have to go through hardship. You have to experience that. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these heroic acts. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. They did not live an easy life. They faced great hardship. Again, they didn't know if they would make it through the night many days. Jesus Christ, when he called those to be disciples, when people came to him and said, Jesus, I want to follow you, he said, you need to understand, I don't have a place to lay my head. You need to understand that I come first and nothing else does, not even your family. There are hardships that we will have to go through and endure if we are going to lose so that we can win. We have to be willing to give those up. But we find encouragement from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes in verses 9 and 10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As we said this morning, as we spoke of at the beginning of this lesson, God can take imperfect things. God can take weakness and turn it into something great, strong, and powerful. Through our hardships, we can be victorious. It requires humility. It requires heroism. It requires hardship. But if we can do those things, it will lead to heaven. But there is something worth going through all of that for, that we will in fact win, because there's a lot of days that it's easy to forget that. When we suffer loss after loss after loss, setback after setback, day after day, we go through these things, it's easy to forget that heaven awaits. It's easy to forget that there is a victory that is coming if we are faithful. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, we have something that those heroic figures did not have. We know who Jesus Christ is. We know that He's the Son of God. We know that He hung on a cross for our sins. And we know that He keeps His promises. These people didn't have that, and yet they were faithful anyway. They trusted and believed in God anyway. We have something that they didn't. So what is our excuse for not being even more faithful than they were? What's our excuse for not being as heroic in our faith, for complaining through our hardships, through not having the humility enough to say, you know what, I don't have to win every single time? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. There is an inheritance for each one of us that are willing to say, everything doesn't have to go my way in the here and now. I don't have to win all the time. I don't have to be right all the time. Sure, we want to win. Sure, we don't like losing. Sure, we want to be right. It feels good. It's natural. It's human nature. We have to be okay with losing now so that we can win later when it really matters. Just as these we read of in Hebrews chapter 11, just as those we read of throughout the pages of the New Testament, those who lived very challenging lives, whether it be Jesus Christ and His disciples, whether it be Peter or Paul or Barnabas or all those that we read of in the New Testament who built the first century church, they did not live an easy existence, but they were willing to lose then so that they could win later. If you're here tonight and you feel as if you have been fighting the wrong kinds of battles, if you feel as if you've placed your priorities on winning the wrong kinds of games or challenges that are set before you, and you want to change that, you can do so this evening. If you need to find more humility in your life, if you need to have a bolder and braver faith than what you have possessed recently, we can pray for you tonight. We'd love nothing more. If you need to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, won't you come while together we stand and sing?
Sola Savior, Thou art in me. Sola Savior, it's for me. Hear the words of tender pleading. Hear the strength that comes to me. Oh,
opportunity to take the Lord's Supper today, it's been left prepared for you down the hall in our chapel to your right once you exit the auditorium. Shane's going to lead us in a closing song. We'll be dismissed in prayer if you'd like to make your way there during our closing song. We thank you for being with us today. May God be with you until we meet again.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace, in the mansions bright and blessed, will we ever so blessed, when we all know His heaven, what a thing of rejoicing every day, when we
Father, we are just so thankful for the opportunity, the privilege, and the blessing we've had on this day to come, Father, and to worship you. So thankful, Father, for Matthew and his lessons today. And let us take those lessons and let's examine ourselves and apply those things to our lives, Father, that we may be better servants and better examples to those that are around us. Well, we ask you to be with each and every one that is present this evening. Be with us as we travel to our homes. Keep us all safe in our travels. And ask you, Father, to be with us as we go through this week, Father. We ask you to give us guidance. And, Father, we ask you to give us wisdom. Father, we ask you to forgive us in those times that we may fall short and stumble. So thankful, Father, for all that you do for us and for the love that you have for each and every one of us. How that love is demonstrated on the cross. And it's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.